day of broadcast insolence, and it's great and also very scary to have our friend Kevin Powell back.
I miss you guys so much.
Yeah. Well, I think in part because you do look like the CDC is going to call at any minute and say, you know, it's like one of those, like all those outbreak movies where a guy arrives at the emergency room and he's like, I don't feel so good. Because he's not a color that is in the human spectrum.
Right. Mm-mm. It's starting, the sunburn starting to settle in. Like, I'm starting to sweat now. Like, it's really
so that's the worst part of it. You just feel hot all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was toasty yesterday.
Yeah, you had a perfect day for it.
Had to battle through, get through 18. I don't know how I made it.
What is wrong with you people? What has happened to the work ethic? This is exactly why the world is so mad at millennials, that you have to do absolutely, you know, you get one invitation to go play in a media day.
One of the most historic golf courses in the world.
Yeah.
Bro, you're just mad because you didn't go for once.
I'm mad because I didn't get invited. That's what I'm mad about.
Yeah, Ro just plays in the Pro-Am next month.
No big deal.
All right, whatever. Anyway, the point is that
I put SPF 70 on. I'm not kidding.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
But that's SPF 70?
I was sweating so much, I think it just came right
out.
Yeah,
you got to reapply.
I was drenched in sweat yesterday. It was toasty.
Could we get a shot for CLTV? This should be some sort of public service announcement. There we go. That's good. If you could just zoom in on him a little bit, that would be great.
I'm sweating now.
You do have a nice shine. You know, kind of it's like that skin tightness shine.
Is
you
that
have
good
a glow.
Or bad? Okay, thanks. I have a glow. I'll take that as a compliment.
Again, at the emergency room, this is where all of a sudden everybody puts on the hazmat suits and then they rush them into a room that's like that you have to zip your way in and out of. That's what's going to happen here.
It's a tavern tan. A lot of sun, potentially some high blood pressure.
There's that
stress
too.
Myself out.
Body temperature at like 100.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I came out of the coal mines of Wales and I came to the United States. And the SS Porridge.
Are we going back to great-great-grandpa Powell here?
Yes.
And we landed at Ellis Island. Or Navy Pier. I can't remember which it was. And I got off the boat. And I had the first time I'd seen sun ever in my life.
Stopped at the Miller Lite deck.
Because I knew the Millers from the old country.
Frederick Miller was your pal?
I thought it was. And then I went in and I saw the sun for the first time, and I was red for the next 40 years.
Yeah. That's great-grandpa Powell right there, right. Getting off the boat from Ireland, even though he was a Welsh coal miner. I don't know. There's a whole backstory here to Kevin Powell I don't fully understand. Yeah. But listen, the point is you're just too white.
I know.
Which is, you know, this is true. It means you can't run for president, right?
That's true.
The first thing. You're too white.
The war on the white male continues,
right.
et cetera.
And we already have kind of an orangish-red president.
We don't need any more weird colors in the White House. That's kind of fun. We don't need people looking at the president. What's going on with his face? Is he burnt? Does he have high blood pressure? What's happening with this guy?
You kind of have the exact same thing going on right now.
A little bit.
Yeah. Maybe if Ivanka isn't vice president in 2020. Did you see that they called back Mike Pence's airplane today to Washington? Did you see this story?
Oh, boy.
I don't know if Kim has anything about this. They, like, around 11:30 this morning, there was the only people who had it was Fox News Channel, which is, I think, very interesting. They're the only ones that got the call. That Air Force Two was on its way to some event up in New Hampshire or something. And then or Vermont, one of those crazy places up there. And they literally it was recalled to Washington. Now, I'm wondering if it was recalled so that the president could have him in and say, Mike, you're out. Ivanka's in.
We don't need you anymore, Mike.
Thanks for your service.
Heck, you're
back. Well, he's like, everyone's already talking about it.
Forget it. I'm out of here.
Now, yeah. Things are starting to take
come
shape.
Together. I thought that would be such a great afternoon.
ABC kind of was reporting earlier that his plane didn't actually take off, that it was about to go, but he didn't actually leave, and he was summoned back to the White House, but there was nothing wrong with the president's health, there was no crisis, so we're not exactly sure what the summons back was for.
Summons.
Ivanka, I need your ID, I need your vice presidential super security card.
We're going in a different direction.
And your business cards. I need all your business cards to say Vice President of the United States. Oh, the POTUS.
You must have been listening to the show yesterday.
HR's waiting for you. Exit interview.
Exactly. Right. Right? There's the HR person. There's always one person that's in there who you've never seen before, mm-hmm. but she's got that look on her face, and she's got a pad out, and she's ready to take notes.
Gonna yell at you.
I'm gonna need all of the. I need your laptop back.
Any hard drives you may have sensitive material on? Not that you have any, because we haven't given you any.
I also need to take a look at your phone. No, not my phone! All right, so we don't have an answer then to what happened there.
I hope we get
one. Is he still vice president? That's the question. Because yesterday we were being told that he was going to be replaced. There's random, and I don't think so reckless, but random speculation in Washington that the whole Ivanka Trump deal in Asia, in Japan specifically, at the G20, was really all about setting her up to replace him on the ticket in 2020.
A lot of FaceTime for her.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah. Well, and if you're Pence, what do? Do you call Mother immediately? Mother, you're not going to believe it. I think they want to replace me. With Ivanka. I would love to be. Wouldn't you love to have a microphone in the room when he's discussing that rumor with his wife and hear the stuff they're saying about the Trumps in the room? Or do you think they do it just by making expressions with their eyes? Because they know that they could be being listened to at any given moment.
Hearing Trump dynasty scares me, because I think that's what's going through his mind right now.
Oh, for sure.
Well, that little gif that they posted with the Trump into, like, year 3000 signs.
He's pinned that to the top of his Twitter page. He's really big on that. And it's kind of creepy. It's kind of Twilight Zone-ish.
It's very creepy.
Yeah.
Well, it's 1,000 years, right? He wants to go 1,000 mm-hmm. years? Right. Remember the last guy who wanted to go 1,000 years? He died in a bunker in Berlin. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Don't mention his name.
It's frightening.
All right, here we go. We got Ben Bradley is going to join us just coming up in a few minutes from the WGN-TV newsroom. I got so many things I got to get you all hipped up on here. The White Sox family reunion, you know, this is your last clue I'm going to give you today at 5:40. So stay tuned for that, and then tomorrow's your last opportunity. And then we're going to make the announcement tomorrow at 5:40 in the afternoon on 720 WGN. Weather permitting. So we'll explain all of that to you tomorrow. And we've got, and the Crosstown series continues. Don't forget, Saturday, we're at Cork and Carrie at the Park, 33rd and Princeton. We're all going to be out there starting at 3 o'clock.
Big party there.
Trying to say exactly right. Well, it's always a big party when we're there. All right, Ben's going to be here in just 1 second. But first, Kim, what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Chicago's airports are about to get really busy.
Watch Navy Pier's Independence Day display from home as fireworks light up Chicago's lakefront. Chicago's Summer Blast, a WGN-TV special July 4th at 9:30.
All right, Ben Bradley is joining us from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Good afternoon to you, Ro.
Good afternoon, Ben. Uh-oh, dude, I don't like the way that sounded. That's like when you get called into a teacher's office. Yes.
Oh. I'm glad you could stop by.
Oh, boy. All right, what is it? Now we're going to show fireworks on the TV. That's what we're doing now?
Nothing better than fireworks on the TV. Avoid the crowds. Watch the fireworks right here on WGN.
All right.
You know, it's like the Yule log, right? We're your go-to station for any type of national celebration or local.
All right.
Yes. How about the Bean? Did you guys see that video from overnight where the Bean was vandalized with some gang graffiti? Still waiting to hear if there are going to be charges filed against those seven people who may
be... Probably not. Probably just easier.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, we just shouldn't charge them because they're sad. They were sad. They were speaking out. They wanted
to take a nap and have an ice cream cone.
It's all fun and games till they mess up the Bean.
35th Street. They just wanted to give props to 35th Street. That's all they were doing. Mm. Thank you, Kim Fox. Don't get me started.
How dumb do you have to be, though, to go vandalize a place that is so high profile and has cameras all around it and private security guards?
Well, the private security guards part I kind of get, but the rest of it I don't. You're right. It is so stupid.
Well, people followed these guys out and pointed them out to police.
I like how they said they are adults. Really? I mean, does that make a difference? What are they? They're like 18, 19
years old? Yeah, I mean, this was gang graffiti that was tagged. And what's remarkable is our fine WGN Investigates producer, Andrew, jumped on the city's data portal and figured out how many times there were requests for graffiti removal in the city of Chicago last year.
Oh, no.
This will blow your mind.
Okay. Graffiti removal.
So how many times somebody called 311 saying, hey, somebody tagged my garage or there's graffiti here on the side of the highway. Can you come fix it?
I'm going to say 4,622.
Kevin?
Over?
Lauren?
Over 5,000.
Wait, you don't get
keep
to go over.
Up. Yeah, this, what are we doing? Price is Right rules here?
$1. It's $1.
I will go lower and say about 2,500.
Well, so young and innocent and naive about how things work in our fine
or
city.
Or hopeful. Hopeful.
Hopeful, yes. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. There were 107,000 graffiti removal requests last year.
107,000?
107,000. And that's actually down. From the previous years.
What?
How do you have so much time?
There should be a dedicated line to that.
your graffiti helpline.
Yeah. Well, at least they're supporting the paint businesses.
Push one for gangster disciples. Push two for Latin kings. Push three for train graffiti.
Four if they got your garage door.
Four if it's actually a mural, but you want the city to paint over it.
And you know, try to go get Krylon to spray on your outdoor furniture in Chicago and see what happens to you. Right? You walk in and immediately, boop, 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 at the Ace Hardware, they're like, yep. All right, up against the wall. I know what you're up to.
We want to see how good you are at drawing. Are you good at drawing? Are you good at art? Okay. No? You're free to go.
So what has the city said? Have they gotten these guys?
Police arrested them. We've got actually video, and it's men and women, young. But we have not been told about charges yet.
I don't think we should charge them. I just think that it's just... isn't it just bad enough that they had to spend the night not with their home?
They're expressing themselves.
Yeah.
They have feelings.
They have a lot of thoughts.
Whatever happened to ding-dong ditching? That's what I did when I was a kid.
God, I love ding-dong ditching.
The Ring camera really ruined that.
That's true. It kind of did away with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Frank, I saw your idiot son Tommy ding-dong ditching me. Tell him to cut it out.
Yeah, doesn't he know how this works?
I've got cameras everywhere.
Now, when you walk into somebody's house, like you know, if you're visiting a friend and they have one of those cameras and you know it pops, the video pops right to their cell phone, do you make a face right into that camera?
No, I do other things.
Oh.
I do other things. I make hand gestures and all kinds. You know, it's a lot of fun. Sometimes you get that. I could do like hand. I figured out how to do this with the Ring doorbell. You do a hand puppet right in front of the Ring doorbell, so mm-hmm. they don't see your face, and it takes up the entire screen. And then the hand puppet is sometimes doing something with the other hand puppet. Look
out.
Oh,
boy.
That's really something. It's inappropriate when you do it at your kid's house. All right. Now, here's the question I have. What are the available charges? It's just like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a question, right? Typically, I would think if they do go after somebody, it's a misdemeanor, right? It's either, you know, defacing property. I mean, I guess they're going to try to. They'll try to up the ante a little bit here because it was such a high-profile place. But, you know, typically, I'd be curious, maybe that's a story we're going to look into, is how often there are actually charges for people who are, you know, vandalizing with graffiti items in the city of Chicago.
Well, then I'm sure you also have to look at past criminal activity for each person, because then you could really up charges on them.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
How many beans have you tagged, son?
Well, they got that just
well,
a
I
tag.
Well, I got two Picassos, one bean, and whatever the hell that thing is outside the Thompson Center.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that is either. It looks like paper mache. It's like, what is that? I don't even understand. Is that really a piece of art?
Art.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a good... There, yeah, all right. Well, I'm personally offended by this, and I'd like to bring back some form of public humiliation. You know, where they have to, like, walk in front of the bean wearing a sandwich board, eye deface the bean.
Yeah. Expose them.
You have to wash the bean every day for 3 months.
Yeah, that's it.
Hard labor.
Get all those tourist fingerprints off there.
You know, they not only did the bean, though. They did... The same group did the Maggie Daly...
Cancer survivor. That actually infuriated me more. Because, come on, out of all things.
Do you think, let me just ask you a question. Other than spelling 35th right by using a 3 and a 5, how good of a reader do you think these people are? Let's just face it. If this is what you're going to go do, and I mean, you can't be that, to Ben's earlier point, you can't be that smart if you go to the most public place, potentially, for sure in Chicago, maybe in the entire Midwest part of the United States of America, more cameras. There's a 24-hour camera on that thing anyway, so people can just go look at it. Right?
Yep.
It's like so stupid.
These aren't our future brain surgeons.
No. maybe now they will be. Maybe now they'll go into the system, you know, and like they'll learn their lesson, and Kim Fox will sit them down and have a nice conversation with them about maybe you want to be productive members of society and not just taggers, and maybe some of you will be artists, and maybe others will go to the moon.
You know, these are days, though, that I really miss Mayor Daley, because he would have been just awesome on camera today reacting to they did what? To the bean?
Oh,
what?
My God!
You know, do you know how much money that cost me?
Did you see that? This is going to get me a little crazy. I know this is unrelated, but it's related enough because it's Kim Fox. Did you see that Jussie Smollett is out claiming now that there was evidence suppressed by the police that shows that the Ocendero brothers were actually talking about getting him an illegal juicing substance from Africa, and that's what the whole exchange was about, being on the down low and all that, which I mean, maybe that conversation was about that, but there's nothing exonerating about that.
No. The last big news item I saw on that was like a week or two ago, when some TV station in Atlanta was promoting exclusive video of Jussie Smollett having an ice cream at the Tasty Freeze. And that's when I knew we had really jumped the shark on this story.
Yes, I know we have. But don't get me started, because I'm mad about this. Still mad.
I understand.
Still
very
mad.
Move along. The bean is clean. Life is good.
Is the bean totally clean now?
Yes. They've cleaned it off. The world is now right again.
There ought to be a thing where the bean is electrified at night.
Some poor bird lands on it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be listen, it's not the worst thing. Ow.
That's exactly what we need, is dead pigeons now underneath the bean. Is my time with you over yet?
Have you been underneath the bean?
I have, yes.
Have you done that thing where you stick your head underneath it, and it's like you're in the...
It's like a funhouse mirror.
It's like you're in a bean birth canal, is basically what it's like.
Birth canal.
It's true. It's like a big, it's like a hole that you kind of go up in, and you can see all of yourself in it.
I'm not convinced, you know, there's a secret hatch there to get inside the bean, and I'm convinced that there's like an entire encampment of people living inside the bean.
Little village in there.
Oh, there's a good idea. Sanctuary City. All right, it's time for you to go now, Ben, isn't it?
Bye-bye.
Ben can't get away from this fast enough.
Boom.
The Kim Gordon News is being brought to you by WGN Flag and Decorating Company. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, and off this week, so we're in the 4th of July, Kevin and Lauren Lapka in the studio with us. The kids are taking over.
Is it hot in here, or is it just my sunburn making me sweat?
It's definitely just your face.
Okay.
All right, you two, stop it now. Okay. She's touching me! She's touching me! She won't stop touching
You're
me!
You're on my side!
Are we there yet?
All right. Well, speaking of that, you know, there's a lot of families who are going to be heading off to summertime activities now, including the public pool. And the Centers for Disease Control just raised the alarm bell and said, hey, let me tell you something about these public pools. People are putting kids with diapers in them and stuff.
Dude.
I know. Irfan Hafiz is with us. He's been with us before, and I want to thank him for being back with us. Thank you, doctor, infectious disease specialist, and chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine, Huntley Hospital. And all right, so doctor, it was a cryptosporidium, right? Isn't that the particular parasite that they're concerned about? That actually is not like a human thing. That's nature, right?
Correct. Yes, it's mainly seen in veterinary medicine a lot, but occasionally humans can get infected as well.
And what is it? Where do we get it from?
Typically, it's in fresh water or contaminated water, and the parasites can live there for a long time. And you know, if you drink that water, or you ingest it, then you can get a little sick with that.
But isn't there okay? I'm not trying to make up medicine here. I'm just asking a question. But I seem to recall that people who actually can swim in this, sometimes that parasite can get in the nose and then travel to the brain. Am I wrong about that?
I think you're referring to a slightly different parasite called amoeba, and there's a variation of that. Those can get into the brain, and those can be really bad infections. Those are fortunately very, very rare.
Right, but it's sort of you hear about this more in the south than you hear about it up north.
Yes.
But it is, I know that there have been cases like that, and it's, you don't want to hear about that.
But no, you don't.
I mean, the public pool, doctor, let's just talk about this. The public pool, I think, it's a dying branch on the evolutionary tree here. It's the sort of thing that just seems to me I got it, you know, before there was air conditioning, why you wanted to have these things, but the public pool is a pretty,
gross.
There's a lot, especially, people do, they put their kids in the pool and they've got, in their diapers and kids go to the bathroom in the pool.
Yeah, it's not theirs. They'll do whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's bad.
So what do we do about this? Are we avoiding public pools? What do we do?
Don't put your head under the water. Right. What would you suggest, Irvin? If you had to be in one of these pools,
wear
what
a scuba
would you
suit
do?
To the public pool or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a difficult question to answer there. I mean, certainly you want to make sure that it's a pool that's well maintained, good water circulation, chlorinating the waters and things like that. Overcrowded pools probably not a great idea.
Right.
So I think you do want to have some discretion with which pools to go to. I hate to tell people not to have fun. It's finally warm and you want to enjoy the pools.
So then what should we look for if we're worried about this parasite?
Kids in their diapers in
the pool? Well, no, I mean symptom-wise. If you're done swimming and you feel a little off, what symptoms would we be looking for?
So for most people, you'll get a little bit of a tummy pain and maybe a low-grade fever and a little bit of diarrhea. It can be just like a little bit of a food poisoning or, an upset stomach kind of thing. And for the good news is for most people, you get better on your own without any treatment there. There are a few people who are immunocompromised or have other medical conditions that can get a little bit sicker. So I think one of the things is, if you do have chronic medical conditions, probably stay away from public pools in general. That may be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. If I'm just chronically worried about things, I'm going to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of this, now also there is a recall. You see that Trader Joe's has recalled their Green Giant and Signature Farms vegetables because of a potential listeria risk. Now, listeria, that is one of those food poisoning bacteria, right?
That is a bacteria, yes.
And that's the same sort of thing. It's just a couple days. It's unpleasant, but it's generally not fatal.
And for most people, again, there are some people who do have medical conditions, especially if you've got chronic liver disease and things like that, that some people can get really, really sick with it, too. But the vast majority of people may not even know they've ever had it. They get a little bit of a stomach ache, maybe a little bit of a fever, and it just gets better on its own. But some people can get really deathly ill and get hospitalized.
Okay, and vegetables, you always think about that vegetables are, safe, especially if they're like frozen or canned. But some of this stuff can freeze and then reanimate when it thaws out, right?
Yeah, especially with listeria, it can stay with, it can be preserved with refrigeration.
Oh, so it's, great. I think that was the whole point of refrigeration. That's why we invented refrigeration, so we can avoid these kinds of things.
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know.
I'm just locking myself in my home. There's
I don't want to hear about it. I know. Well, listeria, too, they can get that, cold cuts can have that. Where does it come from?
So it is found in nature, but you're right. Poultry, cold cuts. We do find vegetables from time to time will also get contaminated, and it can stay through the refrigeration cycle. So it is important that if you do have those lots of foods, and if there's a recall to discard it, don't try to reheat it or reuse it or consume it in any way. You're better off getting rid of it.
Yeah, just why take the risk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they get to get and they're recalling it, so take it back to Trader Joe's and they'll give you your money back. In theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for Trader or Joe or any of them, but I'm just going to say that I would guess that would be the right thing for them to do. All right. Is there anything we shouldn't be worried about? I've always wondered about, especially infectious diseases, doctors. I mean, isn't everything a vector to you? Is when you look at, when you're walking down the street or you get on an airplane or whatever it happens to be, it's like everything becomes, it's like you're like a carpenter. Everything becomes a hammer, everything becomes a nail.
Yeah.
Well, we still got to live and enjoy life. So at the end of the day, we got to, you know, look where are the risks and how do you still enjoy life through that?
Okay. Well, when you figure that out, email me. All right. Thank you, Dr. Hafiz. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
Bye.
All right. There he is, Irvin Hafiz.
I knew there was something up with pools. I knew it.
Oh, God,
I
pools.
Knew it.
The worst. The worst. I mean, the big public pool, especially.
Yeah. Oh, like Band-Aids floating around. Is there anything grosser than a Band-Aid in a pool?
Oh, no. I'll tell you what it is. When you get in the pool and there's like a, well, there's hair and like film at the top. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like it's kind of a
Are you happy clusters? To swim past the filter area
yeah.
and everything's all puddled up there? There was a recent study about how many Americans or just people in general will swim in a pool and instead of showering, like that's their version of
Oh, God.
And I'm like, really?
Oh, God.
The second I get out of a pool,
yeah,
I need a shower, right? Like immediately I feel disgusting after getting out of a pool.
Right. Right,
chlorine just, isn't that powerful.
Right, you
people.
Feel the chemicals on you. You can just tell there's some weird, somebody's Band-Aids like on your hand. It's like,
it's applied itself to you.
Right. When did that get it there? I don't have a wound on my hand.
If I have to be in a public pool, I don't understand.
I could never see Rokan in a public
what
pool.
What circumstances that would be. But if I were sentenced to a public pool.
Public pools had a good run for me.
Yeah,
not
I would
doing public pools.
Water wings, you know, and my head is never going to go below the, you know, even if my hair gets wet, I know that's the thing. And first of all, I check my body for cuts and abrasions. That's the first most important thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, full body check before I
yes.
go in, and
you
then
don't
when
want
I get
that
out,
flesh eating bacteria. That would be the bad one.
God.
And then I tape all the holes together. I make sure that there's nothing that can seep into any of my holes. There's what do we have? Eight holes or nine holes, whatever it is.
So you're the Band-Aid guy.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, not even a Band-Aid. No, I'm using scotch tape because it's, you know, almost kind of like waterproof. I'll say it's a pain to get it off, but it is worth it just to make sure that nothing gets into any of the places that, you know, you don't want to get into. And then you get in and then you don't ever dip your head below anything.
Right? Yeah, way too many ear infections as a
right.
child from
yeah.
pools. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm terrified of public pools now.
Sometimes
I hold my breath when I drive past them now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a public pool. Don't breathe in the air for like at least 30 seconds. There could be some crypto parasite.
I saran wrap my chest just in case my nipples are absorbing anything. That is how concerned I am about this.
And it really makes the water slide better.
Yes, yeah. It does. Yeah.
Better
yeah, that's
safe
true.
Than sorry.
I got a whole thing going. All right. Is that too much information?
Godspeed, everyone.
Thank you. Hey, enjoy the summer.
Enjoy the summer. We can't win.
Well, the lake, I mean, that was the thing. When I was a kid, my dad would always take me over to the other side of the lake because he said it was warmer over there, which we realized was because there was a nuclear plant. And we'd go in. I would invariably, I'd get a mouthful of water.
Mm. Oh, it's the worst.
Right? Like if a wave, you turn mm-hmm. a wave, and then all of a sudden you get a mouthful of water. And then, like clockwork, 4 hours and 18 minutes later, he'd have to stop at the McDonald's on the Skyway because I would have to, you know,
stomach hurts.
It would be really bad.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that's just what it was. And that's, you just don't want to drink, like the lake water, you don't want to mm-hmm. get a gulp of pool water. I'm getting sick now thinking about it.
Yeah. And I always, I'm one of those people, I always get the water up the nose when I'm water skiing because once you go down, it's like, straight up in your face. There's no stopping it.
Well, you know, now that's why if you like go water skiing like up north, like northern Wisconsin, I figure that water is like pretty
crisp.
Yeah, pristine for some reason. I don't know why I think it's pristine up there, but I just have that image in my head because it gets cold. The ice just came off the lake like 2 weeks ago.
It's fresher.
It's right? refreshing.
Yeah. So you figure that the cryptosporidium has been, you know, it doesn't know what to do.
And you see so closely what goes on in, around here, mm-hmm. so probably when you get away to the northern woods.
Right.
This hasn't been touched by man up
right.
here.
It's got like eagle poop in it. That's it. And that's the only thing you really have to worry right. about. All right. Okay.
Public pools, Godspeed.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Let's check in now. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Conditions at migrant detention centers, the focus of protests across the country today.
I need to tell you that the stories that matter with Kim Gordon are coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in just a few minutes. I also need to tell you something else. I'm going to give away something here. Want something cool? Don't everybody jump at one time here. I got a family pack family four-pack of admission to Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival July 4th through the 6th. That starts Thursday, and it goes till Sunday, Saturday.
Hot air balloons.
Yes, that's what I meant.
It's a big deal.
There is, let me tell you what this is here. This has got hot air balloons, as you said, launches, tethered balloon rides, weather permitting, nightly fireworks, two band stages, food, fun. On Friday, there's going to be a WGN live broadcast in the afternoon with Pete McMurray and Jane Manzoors.
Fancy.
That's a fancy way of pronouncing it. So right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 rips us off for the family four-pack of admission to Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. How about that? Everybody happy?
Very happy.
Yeah, that's nice. We were there a couple years ago. It's a great thing.
It's on my bucket list to go up in a hot air balloon.
We got in it, then they told us to get out of it because the conditions have to be right. The conditions were not.
Yeah, I'd rather be safe in a balloon.
I was hoping for like a roller coaster trip. I'm like, it will be fine. Send us up there. What could go wrong?
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about that is that there really is no, there are no good options for getting out of that. Like a helicopter, it's got that auto-rotate thing. So you're going to go down faster than you want to, but it's still survivable, as they say, in a helicopter.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. Something happens with the balloon. This is not the promotion they're looking for. The Lyle Eyes to the Skies. Should just mention that.
Just go. It'll be great.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
Apparently, we learned this. There's like a whole balloon geek culture that I was not familiar with. These people travel all over the country, all over the world, and they go to these balloon things. This is, it's big, obviously, in the Southwest. They have these balloon festivals. They've got in South America, gigantic balloon festivals. And people pack them up and they get down there.
They're super cool to see from afar. Even if you don't know something's going on, you're like, oh, look. And then they got all their little decorations. It's really cool. It's, in a way, a lamer plane, but it looks
cooler. It is a lamer plane. And we'll say this, that you do not want to take a balloon trip from here to L.A.
It'll take you 8 days, maybe more.
Yeah, I think a lot. It depends. You gotta hope that the jet stream's going the other way. Gotta kind of count on that. It's okay because you gotta go. You basically just have to keep going east until you get back around. Did you see around the world in 80 days? I mean, that's what that's all about.
Easy peasy.
I did not.
No. Plus, you have to have a really cool looking handlebar mustache to be in the balloon industry. We learned that too. There's like a whole thing.
Don't shave until the fest.
I don't understand what goes on about anything anymore. All right. Coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, I can tell you this. Tim Carey is going to join us. Did you see? All right. Lauren's not really a part of this problem that Kevin and I have. But Kevin and I like to, we like the idea of, you go to a racetrack, maybe put a $2 on a pony.
Place a wager.
Maybe on a Sunday, you and your friends get together and they decide, well, the Bears are -3.5. I'm going to take them.
Drop a little cheddar.
Yeah. And a nice friendly wager of $1.
Of course.
My friend, what do you think? Or maybe a nickel. Would you prefer to bet a nickel or a dime? Anyway, whatever it is. Well, when is that coming to Chicago? Tim Carey has the answer, and he's going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes, because there's been a lot of confusion about that last couple of days, and there was a story in the paper today that may not be 100% accurate about whether or not sports gambling is going to be coming to, whether it's a racetrack or some other facility near you in the next couple of months. So stay right here. We'll tell you all about that. But first, Kim Gordon's got the WGN news. And don't forget, Chicago Stories, told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Who's gonna ride your horses?
Who's gonna drown you over the sea?
It's a Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here. Anna's off this week. Tim Carey, our old friend, has come into the studio with us. He's the president and general manager of Hawthorne Racecourse. And there's a reason that we are having Mr. Carey in. A big announcement actually was made yesterday about a partnership that you guys have now with a firm to do sports betting over at Hawthorne. You're also going to do this casino, right?
Do we call it a casino? Yes, sure, we can.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I just want to say I'm really happy that Mike Monaco's not on air right now. Last time we were here, you said Tim. You never want to be sitting next to Mike Monaco. So
right.
the fact that he's not here, I'm a good standing, I guess.
Yes, you are. You are. Although we do have some federal agents outside that want to see you right afterwards. Anyway, so here's the deal. You just cut a deal to do the sports betting piece. See, this is for guys like me and Kevin. I don't know. I don't want to sound like too much of a degenerate, but I will say this. This is like a dream come true for me to be able to go and on a football Sunday or whatever, and not have to worry that I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing when the government says I shouldn't be doing it, and to go put a few bucks because I would do it anyway
right.
on a football game or during a the playoffs and something else. It's just fun to be a part of that.
And that we're excited because, one, we really got the bill that we wanted. I mean, we've waited, as you and I have had this discussion for, 15 years now in terms of horse racing.
Right.
So this is a bill designed to help horse racing, and it will do that. But the fact that we have a full-blown casino with table games, the fact that we can offer sports betting, really will help us in terms of the racing industry. So that's
Without question.
There's
20,000 jobs in Illinois directly related to the horse industry. People don't get, when I say that to people, they're like, what? They're
right.
Like, what?
Right.
20,000
all the farms and the vets
jobs.
And everybody. Yes. Yeah. So we've been going after this for that period of time, and we're just extremely excited. So the fact that we do have sports betting for you and Kevin and everybody else in this room, it really does help us because it brings you into our facility, number one. Traffic, and like in New Jersey, they're looking at it where, horse racing has increased 38-42%,
right.
Because of sports betting. People coming in and seeing the horses, and that was the whole idea behind this legislation.
Right.
So one, we got that.
Because when they get, let me stop you for a second here, because when people stop, people have never been to, or maybe gone to a party or something at your place or at Arlington or somewhere else, and they've seen the horse racing, they don't really fully understand it. If they have an opportunity to get in, the more you see it, the more the excitement is around it, and you get a sense of also how dynamic it is and the athleticism of the horses and the jocks.
How beautiful these animals are, yes.
Yeah.
And the jockeys, they're phenomenal athletes and stuff. So from that perspective, we get to rebuild our industry, which is what we've wanted to do. So we're very fortunate with the legislation that's passed. I mean, Bobby Rita in terms of sponsoring in the House, Terry Link in the Senate. Can't forget those guys. Bob Malaro, our great lobbyist.
What is this? The Oscars? Cut it out. All right. So where is when's this happening?
So we think it's all contingent upon the gaming board. So as you can imagine, there's never been sports betting in Illinois, of course, legally. So the gaming board is taking a look at this right now. We're anticipating, sometime in August, like the August 1st, 2nd, is when they're going to come out with probably rules, is what we're hoping for. And so depending upon what those rules say, we'll determine when it's going to go.
Well, weren't the rules already in the legislation or no?
No. These are rules on how we're going to operate and what we're going to do. These are probably going to cut and paste, I would imagine, from New Jersey.
Okay.
That type of a thing.
What kind of rule? What are we talking? When Kevin and I hear rules, we get a little concerned.
I don't like rules.
I hate rules.
Yeah.
I don't like rules either.
Yeah.
So football season will be.
Yeah,
we were hoping
September, but for the start of the season, but that's just not going to take place. So we're thinking that it's November, optimistically, and probably conservatively December, but certainly. Worst case, I would imagine the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you guys partner with PointsBet, a 20-year agreement between PointsBet and Hawthorne. I'm curious to see the sports books that gamblers know are the Vegas sports books, right? Where you post up and there's 1,000 TVs in front of you. What can we expect at places like Hawthorne or other venues that are going to be, are there going to be Vegas type sports books?
Without
in
a doubt. Yeah, we have a 10,000 square foot facility that we're going to do. It's going to be, 100 screen TVs and we're going to do a temporary location, first of all, at our Tito's bar that currently exists. We'll I didn't mean to do that, Ro.
Right.
I didn't
Go
mean.
Ahead.
And so then we're going to do that on a temporary basis. And then as we're building the permanent sports book. So
when's this permanent sports book get up, do you think?
I think the permanent sports book probably February, March.
Oh.
I know.
March Madness.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think it's it literally
too bad
takes,
there isn't spring football anymore.
I think it takes 15 minutes to get there from here. So we're just right
12 and a half.
12 and a, there.
12 and a half. I've done it a few times. I'm no stranger to the Gold Cup, if you know what I mean. So what do you do? So all those kinds of horse spaces that you have there, right. You know, like gold cup rooms, things like that. Yeah. Are you going to keep that? Are you going to upgrade those? What are you going to do?
We're going to upgrade the whole facility. So,
not going to say that you needed it, but
we do need it. No, yeah. No, Ro, you're absolutely correct, and we get it, and that's again why we've been staying in this game, because all the jobs, as well as we think that there's a true business there in terms of the horse racing end of it,
yeah,
and stuff. So
for sure.
We feel very, very fortunate with the bill, and yes, the gold cup race itself, the Illinois Derby that we used to have in the spring, we put those on hold simply because we didn't have the purse structure. We focused in at Hawthorne. We focused in on the overnight purses.
We should explain what that means, because what has happened in Illinois with the lack of gambling, racinos, as they call them, right, everywhere else. You started seeing this in other states. You started seeing it in Florida and then New Jersey and other places,
right,
where you could...
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you could put a casino along with the racetrack, and that allowed places to start to increase the purses for the horses. So the better horses... We used to have the finest. There's sort of a route that these horses take, yes, during their professional year, and it starts in Florida in the winter, and then it heads up to Kentucky, and it heads up to Illinois after, right, that. Well, people started bypassing Illinois. They went all the way up to Canada. They, yes, go right, yep, through to Woodbine, to Toronto,
yeah,
or they would go to Ohio. They go other places where the purses were bigger. Indiana, Ohio. Yeah. Started being in places where horsemen, you know, people who own horses and trainers and people who are in this business, you're going to want to run in a race that is going to have a purse of $50,000 as opposed to $15,000.
Right, right.
So do you guys anticipate, Ro, you're the horse guy here.
I say that in front of Tim Carey. I like that. Tim, do you hear what he said?
Between us.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, horses that may have left the state, you anticipate them coming back because of the increased traffic and all those sorts of things that you've mentioned.
So Sunday, June 2nd, is when the Senate passed the bill. And on Tuesday, I got a call from the Illinois Department of Ag saying his phone had been ringing off the hook because people want to come back to Illinois.
Right.
So we okay, anticipate.
We should explain something, too.
Sure.
Because there's another piece of this that's really important. That in southern Illinois, the... it's really fertile horse country.
Yes.
And as fertile as Kentucky, as a matter of fact, because the whole idea here with horses, and I don't understand, it's just been explained to me, is that why are the Kentucky horses, when people from all over the world breed the best horses, they breed them in Kentucky, southern Indiana, southern Illinois, and right, southern Ohio, for a reason, because of the limestone component in beneath the soil. And there has something to do with the grazing, the limestone, the purification limestone does for the water and what it does as nutrients. And the limestone component in Illinois is actually even greater,
yeah,
than it is in Kentucky. And so people know that, and we in the state of Illinois are always offering for Illinois bred horses. There were special incentives,
right,
to race in Illinois.
Yes.
And that's another thing that sort of, you know, it was at least severely diminished. So
With those incentives, the purses were so much higher in Indiana, Ohio,
right,
and whatnot, that they left.
Yes.
So the incentives meant nothing to them. So it really, this guy told me, he said literally there were 140 foals dropped in Illinois in January.
Let's say born.
Okay, yeah. Born in Illinois. Whereas in 2007, yeah, there were 2,650. Wow. 2,650, right, compared to 140.
We used to breed here.
There you go.
We used to breed here, and then we stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Because the incentives just, they didn't make any sense,
right,
anymore. And now it will be back.
Yes.
It is about money. I mean, these are team owners,
yes,
essentially,
yeah,
that you're,
yeah,
dealing with, right?
Right.
And they're looking for the best deal.
Mm-hmm.
And horses are very expensive. They're very fragile in
a lot
of ways.
Cost a lot to feed, train.
Yes. And you want to make sure that they're healthy.
Right.
Right,
absolutely.
And that's the most important thing. And so this gives you, this gives Chicago, this gives the state of Illinois an incredible opportunity here. I mean, it's not gonna, you know, it isn't like it won't be the leading industry in Illinois as it is in Kentucky, right?
Right, right.
But it is going to be, but it's a very important one for downstate, and it's a very good one up here for especially your facility. Because now, think about this for just one second. Hawthorne, right? Just think about where Hawthorne is there. In the beautiful town of Stickney.
Yes.
Don't quote me on that.
It is.
But you're right off the, yeah, you're right off of 55, right?
Yes.
You,
yes,
are, you, it, as I said, I have gotten there from here in 12 and a half minutes from downtown Chicago. With the entire, you know, southwestern suburbs, southern suburbs, everything. It's just so easy to get to. Imagine now the development that there can be in and around your facility.
I mean, it's going to be a huge. We're talking about a, you know, four-story garage. We're gutting the building. We're going to have fine dining in there. It's going to, you know, food court. It's, you know, a 1,200 position, so we can have table games, craps tables. We're going to have a poker room. We're talking about a hotel. I mean, we're going to phase this in. But we couldn't be happier. We just truly, in terms of, we've been fighting for this for 15 years.
Yes, you have.
It's just, we could not be happier for everyone involved in the horse racing and what we believe we can do in terms of a gaming facility. It's going to be a great entertainment facility. And you're right, the location is just outstanding.
Yeah. It's perfectly located.
Yeah, it really is.
For the south and the west and downtown.
Yeah, we're going to pull a lot from Indiana.
Oh, God.
People that went to...
You know what? Screw Indiana. We're coming back. We're gonna
Amen to that.
Klein Avenue. You can't even... Klein Avenue has been under construction for like the last 100 years. And there was a part of Klein Avenue when you get on it, and if you got on the wrong way, you went right off the top of a bridge, Blues Brothers style. It was not so pretty.
Right.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. So again, Rob, we're going to be.
You've always been with us, so I appreciate.
I have.
Very,
and
very
Hawthorne.
Much.
I've always been with Hawthorne.
Yes, you have.
The thing that is important to note here is that through the online is not going to start here, right?
Oh, no, you have to actually sign up at a brick and mortar. So you can go to any brick and mortar location, Hawthorne being one of them, and then you can go and play online.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then but again, not until kind of deeper into the fall we anticipate.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do we got to do over by the board? What do I got to do? I'm going to make a phone call over by the board. Hey, how are you guys doing? What's going on?
I can't wait to work with them. I hear nothing but great things about them. So
this is a newly constructed board?
It is. So Governor Pritzker has not appointed a new chairman yet. Don Tracy had left, resigned, and I believe they're short one board member in addition to that.
Hey, I can do this. This is no problem. Like, hey, how you doing?
You'd be a great chairman.
I've got some spare time.
I would love to be. I mean, the racing board I've always sort of coveted, because I think it's such an important part of the economy of the state. Can be an important part of the state.
It's a great agribusiness.
And you also want to be very careful. You want to make sure that, because the majority of people are good guys in this business, but every once in a while you get bad owners and stuff like that, and you want to make sure that there are, you know, they are disincentivized to be bad owners.
Right, correct.
And you definitely don't want.
Right.
So. All right, Tim Carey, thank you so much. Congratulations to Hawthorne.
Anytime.
I mean, there's a pep in your step now that I haven't seen in 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
There was a storm cloud over your head for 14 and a half years, and now look
it's
at
finally
you.
Finally
He's on
relieved.
Top of the world.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right,
thank you,
Tim. Appreciate it. Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Rose, CPS is changing the rules for students caught with pot.
All right, coming up on the program, the top five of five. Also, your last clue for the ultimate White Sox family reunion. And Richard Roper tells us that Spider-Man is doing it again.
I think there's a new Spider-Man every 30 minutes.
Exactly right. And this one, we'll see if it's all that. And also Ophelia. Daisy Ridley from Star Wars has got a new movie out, too. All that's coming your way right around the corner. Kim Gordon's got news in 2 little minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. And a couple things I got to tell you about before we get any further. Coming up in about an hour. Your last, last clue, right? Yes. Right, because we're giving this thing away tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Today's the 2nd of July. Tomorrow's the 3rd of July. Tomorrow at 5:40 on this very radio broadcast, which will be coming to you live from Guaranteed Rate Field.
Dylan Cease Day.
Right.
Cease the day. I almost made that work, and I just blew it.
I think it works.
Cease the day. That's my new
there
thing.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Trust me, that's how I feel internally.
That's how it went.
Was
yeah.
Good, Lauren.
Now, what you can do is you stand by today at 5:40 today. I'm going to give you your last clue of when to listen, what to listen for, and when to listen tomorrow on the Steve Cochran Show. And then when you are the appropriate caller, which I will also tell you what you have to be, and you hear this thing and the blah, 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 then you win 4 tickets to an upcoming White Sox game, and then you're in the qualifiers. You'll be the last qualifier for the big suite for 20 people on the 28th of July as the White Sox take on the Twins. Could it be more important? I don't think it could be. Could it be a bigger deal? Could it be the best thing you've ever done for your friends and your family? Take them all to the suite. Yeah, no big deal. I got a suite at the Sox game. No big deal. Got it from Steve Cochran to Rokon.
Why are you flexing?
But make sure you go to the doctor and get that checked out before you go to the game. You don't want to be spreading that.
Right, I know. I'm just saying, I'm just real proud. Flexing from the core.
I did not take a single breath since I've won this thing. All right, so that's what's going to happen here. All right, so I got that. That's been explained to you poorly by me. And then, speaking of White Sox, we are going to also, on Saturday, for the Crosstown Series, the Wintrust Crosstown Series, we are going to be at Cork and Carry at the Park starting at 3 o'clock.
This is
going to
be fun.
White Sox Weekly is going to be out there, right?
Yep.
Who's hosting that?
It's a whole mix. It's us three. Roper will be there. Carm will be there. Harry will be there.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
It's a party of a broadcast and definitely going to be a party in the bar.
No question.
Goose Island is going to be there?
Huge.
Right? You know me, how I feel about the Goose Island IPA.
Mm-hmm.
You see what Delicious. I do the minute I get into the park.
And Where's the Goose Island?
Immediately to the Goose Island. I know exactly the tap that I go to. And then the guy's like, oh, man. All right, here's two. And he knows I'm like on game pace. And I just keep coming back and around. And then we are going to be there from until like well, the game is at 6:10, I think, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
So we're going to be out there doing that, and then we're going to go to the game. Although I just found out that we don't have tickets, so that's a different, that's a separate issue. I mentioned to the folks here who are in charge of the tickets. I said, well, you know, we need 4 for the game. On you know, we're working a Saturday. We need 4 for the game. And they're like, I don't think so. It's the Cub Sox series.
I don't think so. We have to give it to the people here who don't talk about the White Sox on the air.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
Exactly right. So we'll figure it out.
Well, see, this would be who's smart for out? Them. Have they not heard the good luck that we are when we go to the games there?
That's a good point.
They have not lost every game that we have gone to,
we're
at least the three of us.
As a crew.
Right. Mm-hmm. Including when we went to Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's kind of different, but yeah.
Yeah, but even then...
It means we take the luck on the road, yes.
And think how the Cubs treated us when we went to Wrigley Field. They gave us front row seats. We were standing again at our radio station to give us 4 seats to go see the game that we're working for on Saturday.
They gave
but
us
whatever.
The owner's seats at Wrigley.
Yeah. That just tells you something. Be kind to the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. I think that's what it means.
Can't you yell at someone, Ro? We don't have that sort of clout, Lauren and I, but you do.
Oh, yeah. Because that yelling really has worked well for me around here.
We'll find a way.
All right. So all of that is all coming your way. And it is good. Tomorrow, we should mention that it's a doubleheader tomorrow. So it starts at 1 o'clock. Sox take to the air, I think, at 12:30 or something tomorrow for a pregame.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be out at the park in the in-between. In the in-between games.
Right.
And that's where we're going to be giving away the big 20-person suite. Now, there may be some weather, and I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this if at 5:40 we're still in a game, like the first game, which mm-hmm. could possibly happen. And that is going to require me to go in to the broadcast booth with Ed and DJ and tap on their shoulders and go, excuse me, I have to announce something very important here. And I just cannot imagine it's going to go over well with those guys.
Farmiel's going to love that.
I just that's a very separate thing. That's kind of like dealing with it's an ally, right? But it's a totally separate nation. And so you go in there and you're like, hey, you know, step by the way, I got to make an announcement. I can't do that.
Right.
I can't do that.
Right.
Is that how it goes? So we'll just have to see what transpires tomorrow. Good luck to us all, is what I would say. All right. Did you see this story about, and again, this is the second time I've brought up a BuzzFeed story in 2 days, which is really a depressing state, but I couldn't believe what I saw this morning. 11 theories on why aliens haven't contacted humans. that will drop your jaw.
But according to some people, they have. You mean just as, like, a whole?
Yeah. I mean, we'd know about it if they really had, right? I mean, you'd think that somehow it would have made the news.
Right. It shouldn't be such a secret.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if a spaceship came down at, you know, the corner of Michigan Avenue and the river.
Right. More of us would have been exposed to the aliens other than just Charlie and Calvin down in Mississippi.
Right.
You know, all of us kind of would be aware.
Yes. Exactly the point. So BuzzFeed has done 11 reasons why aliens haven't contacted humans.
Okay.
Now, out of the 11, number eight on the list is, well, there probably aren't aliens here. That's the only one. There are 10 other reasons that encompass from number 11 to number 9 and number 7 to number 1 for why they haven't contacted us.
Are these ranked in order?
Yeah.
And that's not number one.
Power rankings.
Right. Mm-hmm. The power rankings. Okay. So if we go from the bottom, it's advanced beings are so far ahead of us that they see us as primitive species, the way that we look at insects. Although I'm going to be honest with you, insects know we're here, right? They know we're here.
Well, they definitely know.
Yeah.
That's kind of been my theory. Like, if they were to contact us, that would mean they are so far advanced than us that they were like, why would we even bother? Why would we waste our time with Earth?
Well, why would you be experimenting? Why are you experimenting on a couple of hicks down in Mississippi or wherever the hell
that was?
That's
the problem. They keep abducting the dummies down in these small towns in the South, and they're like, why would we go back there? They're picking the wrong people to abduct.
I'm also confused why they're using probes to research people. Why did
aliens are big on probes?
Why would that be the idea?
They love probes.
No, it's because Cousin Cooter's got to explain how that got in there to the emergency room. That's why they're heavy on the probes. I swear to God that alien did that to me. Because that I sat down on the light bulb excuse was 3 emergency room visits ago, and they're no longer buying it.
The aliens put the beer bottle up there, I swear.
See, what happened was Clancy put the beer bottle down in between the pillars on the sofa, and then when I sat down, it just went, you know, right up there. Bung.
What? All right. So, number 10, and the reasons that aliens have not contacted us, according to BuzzFeed, alien existence has already been confirmed, but the general public's not aware.
We would be aware.
I think we'd be aware.
So are they suggesting the government's hiding it from us?
I suppose that's what they're suggesting.
Classic Area 51 situation.
9. Advanced beings learned how to upload their consciousness to a simulated universe, so they're too busy enjoying that to spend time interstellar traveling.
That makes a ton of sense.
They have better things to do.
Number eight, or life is so rare that no other intelligent beings exist, it's just us.
Maybe it is.
Number 7, other intelligent life exists, but it's very, very rare.
It's probably the most accurate one.
Okay, so that's like, all right, so there's 2 here that are within the realm of reality.
Right.
Out of 11. 6, we're living in a simulation, so our reality is whatever the programmers decide it to be.
Oh no, like The Sims.
Like the
I always
Sims.
Think about that.
I wish I had the passcode for an infinity amount of dollars.
Yeah, right? Where's Rosebud?
This is millennial talk here, Ro.
I know.
Navigation.
What in the hell are you kids talking about?
I know it is because it's gone right over my head, and I have no idea what they're talking about, Cam. Rosebud, it's freaking me out.
Rosebud was the password, and then your bank account just kept rolling in the dough.
You never played The Sims.
Mm-mm. You could build a mansion with that.
Yeah, that
password.
Was the fun part, like building the houses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Ro's like, oh, God.
It's basically what that number was. You control these people and their world. You decide how many in a family, if they...
You can build a home for them.
Yeah. You,
sometimes they would get in fights.
You can drop them in a pool, take out the ladder, and then, you know, it's the end of that one.
Lauren went dark on that. I never drowned any of my fake Sims people.
Sometimes you just get bored playing the regular life.
I don't like this one anymore. Go in the pool, buddy. Somebody grabbed a ladder so he can't get out.
Moving on. Alien number 5, reason that aliens have not contacted us, according to BuzzFeed. Aliens exist, but they've made themselves undetectable.
Ooh, like they're invisible?
Yeah.
And they're among... What if somebody's sitting in the studio right now? It's an alien. We just can't
see
them.
Like Predator?
Like Predator.
Number four, intelligent civilizations' lifespans are so short compared to the age of the universe that they don't overlap. I don't understand that one. Can somebody explain? That means that they were before and that we're missing them in this window. Is that what the idea there is?
Perhaps. I guess so.
Hey,
because it doesn't make sense that they live.
Hey, Sim Queen, why don't you explain it?
Sim Queen. You got a password?
No, it doesn't.
For that
it one? Doesn't. It doesn't make sense. It would have to be in this lifetime. They don't
like
exist.
Civilizations are being wiped out before you have the technology to get to another populated planet.
Right. It definitely wouldn't make sense that they're more intelligent, so they live less. Like, I would think you would live longer if you're more intelligent.
This is a little different than your average BuzzFeed list.
It is,
right?
Normally, it's like 10 reasons to figure out why your boyfriend or if he's cheating on you or some sort of millennial list.
10 reasons not to go to the bathroom in somebody else's house.
All right.
Number three, humans and other intelligent beings are waiting for incoming contact instead of reaching out to make contact.
Well, this is classic. This is like a dating situation. Just ask the girl out. Don't wait for them to come to you.
Aliens, swipe right.
Swipe right. Damn it. We're waiting to meet you, aliens. Quit being so shy.
Number two.
Buy her coffee.
Number two. Aliens are quietly observing us like zoo animals.
Oh, boy. That one scares
me. Again.
That makes sense
if they exist. But the zoo animal knows that they're being observed because they're waiting for some idiot to come across so they can eat them. Right? I mean, they see it all the time. They're looking back at you.
Yeah, but they can't do anything about it, whereas we probably would if we knew.
Right, exactly.
So they're just watching from afar with a giant telescope? Or they have technology we don't even know about?
I happen to really enjoy this Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis. All right, and number one reason that aliens have not contacted humans that will drop your jaw, it says here. Humans aren't capable of receiving the type of signals alien civilizations have sent us. Oh, please. This is the dumbest thing ever, and I fell for it.
Yeah, my jaw did not drop once, I could promise you that.
Yeah. This is not... Now, I did have somebody say to me in the last 48 hours, and this freaked me out, that this whole alien thing, you know, there's been a lot of stories about aliens in the last couple of days, right?
And Charlie and Calvin.
Yeah, and this, whether that came back around, but there's, I don't know if it's because it's like summer season and that's, you know, kids are out of school and they got to do something where people will click on, but.
There's always those moments, yeah.
Right.
Shark
attacks and aliens, right, are the two things in the summer that dominate the news cycle. So the aliens it seems, you know, to me that we've had all this stuff from the Air Force and the Navy, seeing these tic-tac-like things flying around for the last 10 years. Can't quite figure out what it is. And what they did is that's when Trump was, you know, sworn in, and they took him, you know, to the basement. And they showed him the tic-tacs and the aliens and all the other stuff that we've got. And that's when he came up with the idea of the Space Force.
Well, didn't he also unseal some files involved with Area 51?
Yeah, he did. Because he promised that to Calvin and
creepy uncle in the basement
and Uncle Cooter at one of his rallies he promised that he was going to let all those things go, because undoubtedly there are people who've shown up at his rallies with reams and reams and reams of paper. I finally have proof. I have all the proof I need to prove that the aliens are here and they were actually probing me, and it was not my brother-in-law playing a joke on me with a beer bottle. Right.
Yeah.
So he's got those people. So he had to pay off to them. Right. He had to go, oh, okay, yeah, I got you.
He's got a list of promises he's got
go
to fulfill.
Go ahead. I'll release him.
He got freaked out by the alien news and rumors.
Right.
Space Force.
I need a Space Force. That's what we're going to do.
Not so fast, aliens. Build that wall around Earth.
Right. That would be smart of him if all of a sudden we decide that we need the aliens for the illegal aliens for economic development here. When he finds out that he has to fire all of his employees at his golf resorts, and decides he actually wants to embrace this movement, then he's gonna have to build a wall around the Earth.
On Earth,
yeah,
it'll create jobs though, Ro.
Really true. Really true. All right. Speaking of aliens, if you want to get closer to them, you should go to the Eyes to the Skies Festival and take one of the balloon rides. That actually gets you a little, it might only get you a couple hundred feet closer to them, but it's still closer. And I've got your passes right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 wins a family four-pack of tickets to the Lyle Eyes to Skies Festival that is starting on Thursday, goes through Saturday, featuring morning and evening hot air balloon launches, tethered balloon rides, weather permitting, nightly fireworks. And come on July 5th, WGN Radio live broadcast that afternoon with Pete McMurray and Jane Manzoors. How about that? Those are two pretty people right
they
there.
They are. Saw you do Jane want to go see them today.
Yeah.
So shouldn't you be shooting some sort of exercise video for CLTV right now?
She's constantly in some leotard, unitard thing.
Doing spandex. Something like stretching, yoga pose that looks painful.
Right. She stands on one finger.
She's in great shape.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that where she like, and then she does a thing, and then she laughs.
Right.
Like, oh, watch this. Like she has some yogi explain what to do, and then she does it perfectly. Right. And then she's like, oh, I can't believe I just did it.
Oh, that was so hard.
Man, you're really good at what you do. You're like, hey, come on!
Could do that if I tried.
I know. Anyway, so they're going to be out there on during our shift on Friday. So go see them Lyle Eyes to the Skies. All right, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19 rips us off. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
We have some breaking news. The jury has reached a verdict in the murder case of a Navy SEAL accused of killing an ISIS prisoner in Iraq.
All right, 2 minutes away from the stories that matter with Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, a top 5 at 5 that you, well, you might believe it. I don't think I do. Mike Rogers is going to be here, too, former House Intelligence Chairman and former FBI Special Agent and host of Declassified Untold Stories of American Spies. Actually, I'm going to want to ask him because he was a big muckety-muck, right, in the House Intelligence Committee. He would know about the UFOs. I have to ask him about that because it's UFO and shark season right now. Kids are home from school. They want to turn on something.
There's a whole TV channel pretty much dedicated to just those two topics.
Okay, so I have a friend who is a very highly respected executive in this town who said to me yesterday, he said, you know what? Have you seen this UFO and aliens thing on Netflix? There's a guy who's apparently some former, like actual real guy from the government, who said they're covering the whole thing up. The guy is an astrophysicist type dude who worked in these projects and says they're covering the whole thing up, and he has explanation, and he made predictions from years ago that all got declassified when Trump did his dump, that one. And they, the show, according to this guy, ends with he and the Gonzo reporter that he's with going out into the forest and burying their cell phones and then having this conversation. And in the meantime, this guy's house gets raided by the FBI. And now he's on the run. And it's on Netflix in the summer, right next to a shark special. That's all you need to know. Chicago Stories 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio and tune in. AppleChevy.com brings you Kim Gordon's news. Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Anna's up this week. But we're holding down the fort. The kids, you know, you got your Kevin, you got your Lauren, you got your Richard Roper is here Hello. Now to join us this afternoon. Steps into the studios. He gets ready to tell us whether Spider-Man Far From Home is close to perfect. We're going to find out. I've decided to go with that as a cute little
All right, let's go
aside.
With that.
But he rolled his eyes when I said that. So
well,
I
always do.
Go.
I always do when you start talking about movies you haven't seen. But the other thing, spoiler alert, I'm going to give away the endings of all of the 20-plus Marvel movies before this, before we do Spider-Man, just to get everybody up to speed, okay? So start watching now, or just...
Because you have to, right?
Yeah, so we're just going to start from the very first Iron Man and just work our way through.
Have I had to have seen all of these Spider-Mans
yes.
before this one?
Forward and backward.
All
and,
400
and,
of them?
And closing credits, okay. Easter eggs.
I hope his dad doesn't die in this one.
Oh, jeez.
It was his uncle. But
his uncle.
Okay.
Oops.
He doesn't even know the premise.
It's a sad part
of the
movie.
Comics 101. Wait till he finds out what happened to Batman's parents, Lauren. Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, yeah.
And Superman's. And Bambi's.
Wait a second. I got to get... Pa had a heart attack on that and the Reaper. And I got to get out there.
Don't tell me what happened to the Lion King.
And, what about... When it depends on what happened to Dumbo and Bambi.
In the new Dumbo, did they kill the...
There's a mom.
There's a mom. There was a mom.
There's some separation anxiety is the main plot of the Dumbo movie.
Okay.
And then AOC went down to make sure that Dumbo was okay. Too soon, I think, actually. Sorry.
And proper
that.
Living conditions.
That's Disney humor, not AOC humor, for those of you paying attention.
Deplorable conditions. But then Fox News finds a guy who goes down and goes, "This is great. I was drinking out of the toilet. I loved it.
There's air conditioning.
Best food ever.
Painted my own Betsy Rogg flag on my sneakers, too. Take that. Nike. I think it's called Nike. I'm not sure."
Oh, man. It's funny. I did want to mention. We'll mention that a little bit later on. Now Colin Kaepernick, did you notice that they are now referring? Is this in the top five by any chance? Before I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's not. That Colin Kaepernick is now referred to as a former NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a, you know, a waiting to find another team NFL quarterback. Geez, however they were putting that.
Now he's
an activist. Former quarterback and activist. Mm.
Against putting flags on shoes. Fighting for the important causes.
Oh, and the Betsy, and we should learn about Betsy Ross, damn it! I saw that. We should be teaching about Betsy Ross!
Like you want to put a flag on a shoe, Kaepernick? Not so fast, my friends.
All right, here we go. Let's get to the other top five at five.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
All right, so violent crime is down in the city compared to last year, but there were 50 people shot over the weekend in Chicago, and we're doing some sort of victory dance. And somehow, and I'm sorry, it needs to be pointed out that the weather has sucked this year,
mm-hmm.
right? You had polar vortexes. You've had precipitation on average every other day. Since January 1st.
Record amounts.
And they're doing a victory dance. Like, oh, see, finally, everything's working.
That's because they never want to admit there is a correlation between nice weather and crime.
Yes.
But fine. Whatever.
But now we head into the 4th of July. Oh, boy. And this is, you know, where fireworks and people just decide they're going to go out and shoot their Tech Nines into the air. Because it's
Well, yeah. And now news... outlets are putting out articles how to tell if it's a firework or a gunshot. Here's what you need to know. That is so sad that we need that in our city.
That's true, but I'd like to know the answer to that. All right, here's Eddie Johnson. Are we ready? Oh, Lori Lightfoot and Eddie Johnson. Are we ready?
We recognize that there are going to be substantial crowds that are going to be coming downtown and along the lakefront in particular, and making sure that we have resources in those areas, but not neglecting some of the areas that we anticipate are going to be hot spots.
Social media is not our friend when it comes to this type of thing. You know, you could start off with a group of five people and in a half hour have 200. We always have a high police presence down in by Chicago and State because we know a majority of young folks come off the red line right there.
Just because we're on a positive trajectory doesn't mean that we can be satisfied. We can't be.
Now, what was the mayor's reaction to the tagging of the bean?
Outrage. I have to tell you, when I saw the notification that came to me through the police department, I was pretty pissed off. I mean, look, there are some things that should be sacred. It is unbelievably unacceptable for people to be defacing something like that. And it's not just because it's downtown. There have to be limits on what people do.
Well, no, it is because it's downtown, really. Let's be honest. But the It did kind of strike, didn't it? Like when you saw that, you're like, oh, and who is the moron? And because they, first of all, it's the most photographed area in the city of Chicago, and there's a bunch of Steadicams are on it all the time. Security cameras, and then there's art cameras and other things that are on that thing constantly. So these mopes who went down there and did this have to stop and think to themselves, oh, wait. Whose idea was this? As they're in the lockup, because there's no way they're going to get away with it. Yeah.
Well, especially when you also use your like insignia, your little group's, you know,
your initials.
And I think I will say too, I think Mayor Lightfoot was also reacting because of the Maggie Daly, the cancer survivor area, was that. Yes. I think that she was really ticked off about defacing.
Well, right, that is, you know, that does go, and that is really worse than the bean. You can actually clean off fairly easy. The bean's already clean and ready to go.
Yeah,
that's the cancer survivor wall that was also defaced. I mean, do you get the sense that they had any idea that they were doing that? I don't know. I don't care.
Hard to say, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. This is where we bring back, you know, some form of, like, you know, humiliation punishment where you got to stand there with a sandwich board and go, I'm the mope who did this.
Clean the pigeon poop off the top of the bean for the rest of the summer. Because, you know, there's a lot of pigeons that love the top of the bean. They think it's the end of the world.
But
flat earther pigeons. Yeah, because the clouds reflect in Cloud Gate, and the pigeons all land there, and they think they've made it. And then they just sit there like idiots, and then they poop when they realize we've made the end of the world.
Or maybe they're so excited that that's what they do.
Can you tell I used to live directly across from the bean? I had a lot of time to study it for the first few years of its existence. I was a beanologist.
All right, checking in at
number four.
President has made a home on social media, but that doesn't mean he loves everything about it. In an interview with Tucker Carlson. Hard-hitting, I'm sure. Trump criticized the numerous social media sites that he uses every day.
Can you get reelected if Google's against you?
So, you know, I've been hearing that about Google and Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
I won. They were totally against me. I won. Hillary
but they
Clinton,
didn't think you were going to win.
Well, they fought me very hard. I mean, I heard that, and they're fighting me hard right now, which is incredible because I think the Democrats want to shut them up, and frankly, so do a lot of the Republicans want to shut them up.
Google's against him?
I think he thinks there's a guy named, like, Jim Google, right? Like, he's against me, Jim Google.
Seems to. Every time I Google him, I see a story.
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I like how he says, you know, that no one's letting him on Twitter anymore. Really?
He dominates all of that stuff.
Yeah. Wait, there's more.
If you look at Twitter, I have millions and millions of people on Twitter. And it's, you know, it's a very good arm for me. It's great social media. But they don't treat me right. And I know for a fact, I mean, a lot of people try and follow me, and it's very hard. I have so many people coming up. They say, sir, it's so hard. They make it hard to follow. What they're doing is wrong and possibly illegal, and a lot of things are being looked at right now. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Google is very powerful, but I won.
By the way, he dropped the census thing quietly today. Did you see that?
They're printing. Mm-hmm. They're hitting
print. They're printing the census without the questioner. How is it hard to follow him on Twitter?
I don't think
I don't know. It's
Twitter,
one button,
right? And you say follow, and then all of a sudden you're following him.
Yeah.
And then if you do though, you get all the suggestions for the whole family,
right?
You know who else to follow?
You mean like Vice President
Fredo
Ivanka?
Trump and
Fredo Trump,
Zeppo.
61 million followers.
Right.
He's no Cardi B, but he's got a pretty good following.
You know, for a guy who's a billionaire, self-proclaimed billionaire, and president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, potentially, he's really having a rough run, isn't he? It's just everybody's out to get him.
So when they say it's the most powerful, it may be, but they were against me. Facebook was against me. They were all against me. Twitter was against me. I've been very good for Twitter. I don't think Twitter would be the same without what I do on Twitter.
Sure.
But they just have this crazy disposition. They have this philosophy. And yet the Democrats are very much opposed to them in so many ways. It's sort of an amazing thing.
I think Twitter would be out of business if it weren't for Donald Trump. Do you think that?
One user gone.
Who's with me on this?
Oh, my God.
There's one more. Two more. All right.
Wow.
Keep it coming.
A poll just came out today. I'm at 54 or 55, and they do say you can add 10 to whatever poll I have, okay? And I never get good press.
Fantastic.
I mean, I haven't had a good story. I used to get the best press of the world. You remember the old days when I was an entrepreneur. I used to get great press. Now I get, because of what I stand for, represent, and nobody's ever had. I think 93%. It came out the other day, 93%. And I'm talking about stories that should be good, they make them bad, or should be great, they make them like neutral. And yet I won, and I'll win
again.
Did
he win? Did he win?
Has I can't confirm that, he won.
Did he? Did he? Has he mentioned that he won yet? Wait a second. Hold on. He's got a poll out of 54%. That's not the poll I just saw. It was actually inverted. Maybe he's got, maybe he got the numbers switched. What was the 93%? I like he just kind of throws those things out there. Then there was 93%. Well, what was 93%?
But you can add 10.
I like the
103%.
Anything? Yeah, he's over.
Right, what is the? Right, what is
the aliens? Remember?
I beat math. I'm 103.
You just said that what the tech companies are doing may be illegal. Is there a role for the Justice Department in finding out?
Well, there could be, and I don't want to even say whether or not they're doing something, but I will tell you, there are a lot of people that want us to, and there are a lot of people, all you have to do is pick up a newspaper and read it, or see it, or watch Fox, or watch some other network. There are a lot of people that want us to take action against Facebook, and against Twitter, and frankly, against Amazon.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Amazon also. A lot of people want us to take action.
Are you going to?
I can't say that, Tucker.
I can't.
Good follow-up, Tucker. Good follow-up. Hard-hitting.
If I did tell you that, then you would know. And only I could know. What is that? Amazon. We're going to answer Amazon because his pants didn't arrive on time. I mean, let's go after Amazon because they own the Washington Post, right? Because the guy who owns Amazon owns Bezos, the guy who runs Amazon, I should say. What is it? I don't. Yeah.
Everyone knows I'm a 38 extra slim, in pants inseam, extra inseam, of course.
All right, we'll get to your 3, 2, 1. But first, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the newsroom.
Watch Navy Pier's Independence Day display from home as fireworks light up Chicago's lakefront. Chicago's Summer Blast, WGN-TV special, July 4th at 9:30.
That's where it is right there.
There it is.
Checking in at
number 3.
Oh, remember Harry Reid? He was always creepy. Former Senate Majority Leader. Well, he defended his $22 million that he earmarked to study UFOs for the state of Nevada. And says that we got to keep up with the rest of the world.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Well, let's understand what the topic is. Unidentified flying objects. I wanted to make sure that we were able to do something scientifically. $22 million worth of research. And it was very interesting because it showed that not two people, four people, six people, 20 people, but hundreds and hundreds of people have seen these things, sometimes all at the same time.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy, Harry Reid. Yeah. Remember when politicians sounded like that, like they were near death at every breath? remember that? Yeah. That's we don't have that anymore, do we?
Sometimes it's here all the time.
Six people saw UFOs. 40 million people see Santa Claus every year.
Right. Well, it's Nevada, too. You got the money for Nevada. Yeah, all right. Sure. Whatever. Okay. Checking in at
number 2.
Okay. It was late 2017. Reboot of the classic 1995 Jumanji was released. Titled Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, Jack Black.
Welcome to Jumanji. This next adventure is even more challenging. And remember, the future of Jumanji is in your hands.
I have one important question. Who is Jumanji?
Is that Barbara's boy?
We're gonna die.
We did die.
Are we in hell?
I knew it.
Oh, my God.
Danny DeVito and Danny Glover have been added to the cast.
Grandpa Eddie?
Anthony?
This is Martha and Bethany. This is Spencer's grandfather.
Nice to meet you.
Morning. Sorry to barge in on you.
You're not barging. He's barging.
Milo Walker.
Did you guys see Spencer?
I think he went back in. We gotta go get him.
Are you out of your mind?
Okay.
Have you noticed Danny Glover's doing like a ton of stuff lately? And my theory is because he's tired of people saying, are you related to Donald Glover? Childish Gambino? Is he like your son or your... I think he's tired of his... I'm coming back. Lethal Weapon 27, baby.
I kind of also think he might have run out of the dough. Well, I mean, when the cash flow stops, you know, the residual checks aren't what you think they are.
Silverado money not coming in that much anymore.
All right, so I don't know. Did you like the Kevin Hart version?
No.
I was gonna say I didn't think that was gonna be good, and then people said it was, and I still didn't believe them.
Did you? Are you a Jumanji geek too?
I really liked the original, but even the commercials for this second one looked
stupid.
Turned you off. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, now we have consensus finally on the program, and.
Number one.
Hannah Brown is not here to be judged. In a new promo for The Bachelorette that aired after last night's episode, Ms. Brown opens up about her sexual history, and Luke Parker is not thrilled about it. I don't even understand what I'm reading right now. That's so funny. Who the hell's Luke Parker? Am I supposed to know who that is?
I think they're characters from Spider-Man Far From Home, too. Hannah Brown and Luke Parker.
The Fantasy Suites episode, Parker attempts to talk to Brown about how sex plays into a relationship.
I know Hannah, and I know that having sex in the Fantasy Suite is something that's not going to happen. So let's talk about sex.
Okay.
And let's say you have had sex with one or multiple of these guys. I'd completely remove myself from this relationship.
How dare I be judged by a man? My husband would never say what you said to me. I have had sex. And honestly, Jesus still loves me. From obviously how you feel, me in a windmill, you probably want to leave.
Say what?
Yeah. I in a windmill. And guess what? We did it a second time.
Damn, with that band playing the whole time. How about that?
Right, I got a question.
Okay.
I have a question. Sure. Did she just admit to having a husband? I don't know. Understood what went on
if,
there.
If she, when she does get married.
Oh.
But, what about a windmill?
And also,
what? Is that code
How
for
is that might this be in such the... a popular show? It drives me nuts.
It may be. The windmill may be in the Fantasy Suite.
Oh,
like
God.
That they have like at the, what was that? The, right. the Sybaris? Is that the name of the other place? And then for those...
Is it a putt-putt course or is it a Fantasy Suite?
The clown's nose?
And I think Jesus was season 16 Bachelor in Paradise when she said, Jesus still loves me. There's a lot of names to keep track of in that clip.
That's pronounced Jesus.
Okay, yeah. He still loves me.
Oh my God! Wow. Jesus still loves me.
I want that band to follow me around. When say, I'd like a latte.
Jesus still loves me.
Oh God!
Classic
All right,
Hannah Brown.
All right, it's time to close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news right now. Mike Rogers is here.
Mike.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry you had to be here for this today. You know, it's a summer. This is, you know, it's summer hours for all of us. That's what's going on.
Is it making you a little bit mentally unstable as you talk during the day?
Mike, let's talk separately.
Let's talk offline.
There you go.
I think
thanks for pointing out all the things I used to do.
Yeah,
that was great. I really enjoyed that.
Well, those are important things that you were doing, and now you're about to do. Now, I mean, you got to look at Washington right now, right? I mean, you were there. You know, you went from public service in the FBI to, you know, one of the senior level guys at the FBI. Then you ran for Congress in your home state of Michigan. You rose all the way up to the chairman of the House Select Committee on Intelligence. And I think, I mean, you've seen it from all aspects now. And what we're seeing more than ever is we're seeing the FBI at war with itself. You're seeing the CIA at war with itself. We were talking with Bob Baer yesterday about this, that there are people who are afraid to open up investigations because they're afraid that they're going to inspire the ire of the White House. I mean, is it as bad as that, do you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, most FBI agents will get up and kind of shrug it off. They don't like it. But they know they have a really important job to do and think about organized crime and drug cases and international drug cases and white collar cases and government fraud cases. That's all real work. And they're going to, I think, get up every day and do it. Is it discouraging on the general sense of where I think people have gone to try to discredit them in order to make a political point? Yeah, I do. I think I don't think it's healthy for the institution of the FBI. It is really important people believe in the effectiveness, not just believe, but they have to do it right too. And as I told my FBI friends who were concerned about this review of their activities, listen, you decided that it was the right thing to do to go after or investigate a presidential campaign. Either party doesn't matter. My argument is, great, well, you better expect that your homework's going to get checked. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Doesn't mean that you think you shouldn't do it. But we shouldn't be afraid of somebody asking you some questions about it either. And so once we get all that done, I think people will settle down and understand the FBI is absolutely important to the safety and security of the United States and communities, by the way.
Yeah, well, for sure. For sure. All right. Now,
being that I was the best FBI agent in all of Chicago, of course, I say that.
Yeah, I know. That's right. That's right.
We might have some differences of people who were there since, but you know, I'm pretty sure that I was the best FBI agent ever to grace the city of Chicago.
All I know is I still have your footprint in my door, so that's not really all right. So what?
And I still have the photographs. I just want you to know I didn't turn those.
Oh boy.
Good God! All right, let's talk about some of the things that are happening right now. Though, as we kind of make this turn, you know, away from those investigations will take place and. You know, we'll figure all of that out. But there are international things that are happening here. And, you know, we know that North Korea intelligence, you know, is a malign actor in the United States. They've been doing things. They track their own people here. They do bad things. And yet we're trying to make nice with Kim Jong-un, who is arguably one of the most, if not the most, one of the most brutal dictators in the world. What is your take? And when you saw that over the weekend, what was your take on it?
I don't mind talking. I think talking avoids shooting, right? If you're talking, you're not shooting each other. That's a good thing. The problem with it is the president is very cavalier in what he gives away for nothing. And, you know, there's reasons that people are really careful about setting up meetings with brutal dictators who kill people. You want to do it in a way that says, we're going to give you, you have to give us something if you want the credibility of a meeting with the U.S. president. And what I didn't like about the whole thing is that he just shows up, they walk across the, you know, the 38th parallel, mm-hmm. the DMZ, all, you know, great PR, great TV. The only thing that happened was Kim Jong-un said, well, we'll stay talking about the fact that we are developing nuclear weapons. Well, that's not a win. And anybody that walks away from that thinking that's a win is, I think, sadly mistaken. And so I think he gave up that kind of publicity for this guy very cheaply. And same with Hanoi. They never agreed on some outcomes. It's, you know, and again, people look at it and scratch their heads and go, oh, that's the old way. But part of the reason it's the old way is some of it works, including the fact that if you want a high-profile meeting with the President of the United States, Mr. Kim Jong-un, who slaughtered your brother by, you know, or your half-brother by putting, you know, poison on his face until he died, what you want to do is give a concession. He needs to give you a concession. They didn't do any of that, and I think now they've made this guy kind of an international, you know, bad guy rock star, and it just makes their job that much more tougher. Listen, I give them credit for trying, but I look at this and go, God, did you not have anyone sitting around the table go, all right, if we're going to do this, let's get something. Let's get a concession.
Don't you think he did? Don't you think John Bolton was standing up? And, you know, yeah. John Bolton.
And then he sent him to Mongolia for
right. Right. Get out of here so that you don't know what exactly it is I'm going to do, because this is my party. And he walks across the rock garden, and then they do whatever the hell that they were going to do. I just, you know, and you wonder that now in the other side of the world now, you got Iran. There's a story just breaking now that the New York Times has that's pretty incredible, that there are oil tankers that when they get about 40 miles outside of the ports of Iran, in the Persian Gulf, to go to take on Iranian oil. These are mostly European tankers. They go dark. They turn off all their telemetry so no one can find them. Mm-hmm. They go in, and then they reappear days later back out in the Gulf. Now,
they're transponders,
right? They're trying to turn. They're trying to get around the sanctions and against the attempts by the United States to stop that kind of transaction. I mean, if the world is not going to be paying attention to what the U.S. is going to do, what can the U.S. do about it?
Yeah, I mean, we can stop and seize those ships if they so desire. It would be a pretty difficult task, and you'd have to try to prove that it went to the port and got oil. You could do it. It's very intense. It's harder than people think. When you turn off your ship's transponder, they're doing that for a reason. They're doing it because they don't want anyone in the world to see what they're doing. And so, yeah, that's a huge, huge problem. And, again, my whole thing is, listen, Iran was bad, and I did not support the original Iran deal. One of the reasons, by the way, is exactly what's happening now. They left them all of the centrifuges, all of the capability to enrich uranium, and so they just had to, you know, snap their fingers and started enriching uranium. That was a, you know, just a complete disaster for the deal. However, once you had them in something that had some guardrails on them, my argument was don't unilaterally pull out of it. But what you want to do is go back at them because now they're testing missiles in violation of UN sanctions and, you know, keep them in the nuclear piece and then try to get our European allies back on the other piece. And so, again, what they've done is just kind of taken away little bits of leverage. And, you know, my conservative friends go nuts, but what the administration has done is they've taken on a kind of an Obama approach. I want it so bad, I'll do it, you know, no matter, you know, if it helps me in the short term, I'll do it. Yeah. That's exactly how Obama approached foreign policy. There's a little bit of that going on right now in the Trump administration. My argument is they ought to stop doing that as fast as they can and get back to some regular order that does have our allies helping put pressure on them.
What did you make, and then we're going to talk about the 4th of July and celebrate this country. What did you make of when the president sat down in Osaka with Vladimir Putin and they kind of joked about Russian interference in the elections and you know, other various and assorted things, but it was almost it had a really creepy feel for me as an American.
Well, again, I drives me crazy. I didn't like it because he was flippant about it. And what they did, and this is what we should all be concerned about as Americans, they pitted, they being the Russians, used social media. And, you know, I don't think it changed the outcome of the election. I think people in both parties who say it didn't do anything wrong, you know, it changed the election, wrong. But what it did do is pit Americans against Americans. They used social media to try to recruit black activists, and then they went on the other side and recruited white supremacists. Yeah. And then pitted them against each other and then tried to get the rest of America to talk about it and engaged in this and to pick sides. That is so dangerous. They did the same thing with Islamic groups and Christian groups. I mean, they were very good about trying to sow chaos, and we allowed them to, you know, and now we allow them to do it. I mean, think about what they accomplished in that last 2016 election. They wanted America not to like each other and not to like itself, and any chaos that could ensue in that would be great. Well, guess what? Pretty darn successful, if you ask me. Think about how Americans don't like each other right now. They're, you know, they think everybody is bad other than themselves. This is not a healthy America. And the Russians helped. I don't think they did it by themselves, but they helped do it. And that's when
uh-oh.
Classic Russia.
Well, there we go. Didn't make my grudges go away on telephone with
Mike,
Rokan Show.
Use the safe word if you're okay. Call back.
I want to hear a Roper review of Spider-Man, let's move it along.
Probably some meddling in that, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike made the point right there.
Yeah.
All right. There's Mike said. Rogers, our good friend, and he still has the pictures. That's why we have him on every couple of weeks. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon and find out what's going on in the WGN newsroom for the top of the hour.
Ro, it's not your typical afternoon commute for Metro riders.
Oh, my. Don't forget, on Saturday, we're going to be at Court & Carry at the park. That's the 33rd in Princeton, in beautiful Bridgeport. How you doing? We're getting our own doorman there. He's going to stay in there.
He'll have a list.
With a list.
Better hope you're on the list.
Yep. And it's the password of, could you get out of the way? That's the password. Coming in.
Is Scooch past you there?
Yeah. Is it, do you mind? It is going to be a lot of fun. This will be our third time there this year, I think, right? Or fourth?
In working capacity, yes. I think third or fourth.
Yes, yeah. Working capacity, right. I was just trying to make
quite
the point.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, that this is really what that's about.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And the Goose Island is going to be flowing. And the last time we were there, the CH Vodka was flowing.
We drank all the CH Vodka.
Yeah.
Tapped.
Yeah. And I did on the air complain about the fact that we're working on Saturday and then the station didn't have tickets for us. And guess what? Sort of fine sponsors popped up and said, hey, Come be with us, Bet Chicago. Vic.
How you doing?
Taking action.
We're going to go with him now to the game.
We can bet on the beef race.
I bet I could tell you who wins the burrito race.
Lauren's a great handicapper when it comes to the beef race.
That's the beef. It's the bone of beef race.
Burrito?
It's the you know who it is. It's cheesy beef.
Cheesy
beef.
It's always cheesy beef.
Yeah.
It really is.
Cheesy beef, I think, is undefeated.
The cheesy beef's the Usain Bolt of beef races.
So right now I got a C note on cheesy beef.
You can totally rig it, Lauren. Win some cheddar.
Yeah, cheesy beef is minus 90, though. That's the problem with cheesy beef. All right. We're going to be out there. You should come out starting at 3 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. The beer is going to be flowing. The Goose Island is going to be flowing. And whatever else fun will ensue. So check it out. Also, White Sox Weekly is going to be there. It could be Harry and Carm, and somehow we're going to work our way into that show. I think you're not going to want me in that show at some point, but whatever. The people enjoy. They enjoy it when I'm completely confused by what's happening. And we'll be able to talk about Dylan Cease's dominant performance in his first time on the mound in the bigs tomorrow afternoon.
So excited.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be big. We're going to be out there for that one, too. So don't miss it. Richard Roper is here, brought to us by Arkadek. But before we get to Spider-Man, this time it's for real.
Yeah, okay.
We...
Guys, just destroy their marketing.
Yes. I have two family four-packs to give away, because I forgot to give one away earlier. Two family four-packs to give away to callers number 19 and 20. Or 20 and 19, because that's the year. Let's do it that way. 312-981-7200. Eyes to the Sky starts on July 4th. It's in Lisle. You got evening hot air balloon launches, tethered balloon rides, nightly fireworks, a radio show starring our own Pete McMurray and Jane Manzoors on Friday afternoon there. Go hang out. It's great. We love this event. And you can now take your entire family. Callers number 19 and 20. Get four tickets right now to the entire weekend. How about that?
Good stuff.
Really good stuff. All right. Mr. Roper.
Yes.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man Far From Home.
Far From Home.
Now, I want you all to strap in. Lauren, I might need you in the passenger seat next to me as we kind of walk people through this. So here's the
setup. I already
kicked
up my legs. I'm ready. Let's
do
this.
You're ready to go. Let's do this. Okay. So if you look back at Infinity War, at the end of Avengers Infinity War, sorry, we're going to start talking about what happened in movies from a year ago. Half of the population of the Earth disappeared, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
By at the hands of the evil Thanos. So all of a sudden, if like right now in this room, we've got Kev, Lauren, Roe, and Richard, two of us would have been the average.
Do I get to go?
Right?
Do I get to go during
this?
You
could probably go. Yeah. That was called the blip. Now, 5 years later, through circumstances that happened in Avengers Endgame, those missing 3 billion plus people have returned to the planet Earth. It was called the blip. But here's the thing. They don't know where they were for that. It was a 5 year period. So now you're back. So in other words, if this happened to us, Kev would come back. He'd still be 30-year-old Kev, but we'd all be 5 years old.
Oh.
No big deal. Stay 30.
And exactly. You know, the youthful kid there.
Well, think about the dating possibilities now.
Well,
Kev,
there's a lot of interesting things. So Spider-Man Far From Home picks up right after the events of Avengers Endgame. That's how Peter Parker is still a high school student, because he was one of the victims of the blip. He was missing for 5 years, so he's still just a junior going into his senior year in high school. But some of the people he went to high school with, like their little brothers who were 13, if they weren't on the blip, they're 18. They're older now. So it's a crazy world.
Wow.
Not to mention your apartment was probably rented out to somebody else. So they're dealing with all of that, which is really interesting, because what I like about this movie is it actually examines the fact that it's kind of weird what happens in these, because in the big Avengers movies, they don't have time to kind of talk about all that. They're just like, this one is like, so now there's high school students go, it's so weird. My little brother's now my big brother. And now there's two tuba players in the high school band because we replaced Jimmy. We thought he was dead. You know, there's all this stuff. So it's kind of a smaller, if you will, version of the Avengers universe. Almost all the Avengers. Here's what they have to do in these standalone movies, too. They have to make an excuse for like why no one else is around. So like, where's Thor? Oh, he's taking a nap. Well, what about Black Panther? He's off universe. We need you, Spider-Man. You have to make up excuses for Captain Marvel. She's busy.
Couldn't get her quote.
She got overtime. She's taking a few weeks off. We need you, Spider-Man. So that's the setup there. Essentially, it takes so Peter Parker and his high school friends, his high school science class, they go on a field trip, the science field trip to Europe. They go to Venice. They're going to go to Prague. They're going to go to London. Mm-hmm. And that's when crazy things start happening. Yeah. Kind of like this show. Actually, there's many of the same stops, exactly. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Zendaya, who plays MJ, the love interest, is along for the trip. And he's got his best friend, Nick, who knows he's Spider-Man. Now, we have Jake Gyllenhaal now showing up. And he should be in a Marvel universe, right? He's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sure, why not?
He plays Mysterio. A new Avengers character who has just helped save the world. In the meantime, Spider-Man's getting in trouble with Nick Fury, his boss's boss, because all Peter Parker wants to do is be a high school kid, but now he's in trouble. So here he is in a conversation with Jake Gyllenhaal's Mysterio.
Well, Fury asked me to come up here and see how you were doing. He felt bad about snapping at you.
Really?
You guys do have sarcasm on this Earth, right? How you feeling?
I didn't think I was going to have to save the world this summer. I know that makes me sound like such a jerk. I had this plan with this girl that I really like, and now it's all ruined.
I like you, Peter. You're a good kid. There's a part of me that wants me to tell you just turn around, run away from all this, and then there's another part of me that knows what we're about to fight, what's at stake. And I'm glad you're here.
It's really nice to have somebody to talk to about superhero stuff, you know?
Anytime.
And spoiler alert, as you can tell, Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of taking over the mentor role. That Tony Stark was like a father figure to Peter Parker.
What happened to Tony Stark?
Yeah, where's Tony Stark?
Yeah, well, what happened to him?
He's not in this.
Don't worry about it. Lauren,
he's not in this movie, okay? So there's the kind of father-son bonding there.
What about John Favreau as Buddy?
Here you go. Now, that's interesting you mentioned it. He's happy. He's not Buddy. He's happy.
Yeah.
Best friend to Tony Stark and works for S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Right.
He is now falling for Aunt May.
Aunt May.
Because Aunt May used to be played by 82-year-old actresses. Marissa Tomei is Aunt May in the latest Marvel Universe. And it's so funny because they give her mom jeans. It's still Marissa Tomei. You know,
she's still hot.
Celebrity crush forever.
She's right, and she's fantastic. Great actress, too, really, and just a lovely person. Absolutely beautiful. So now Peter Parker, he's a high school kid. He's basically in a John Hughes movie with superheroes because he's got a crush on the girl that he thinks likes him. He's got to worry about his Aunt May basically dating his boss. All of a sudden, Happy showing up at the townhouse back in New York, hanging out with Aunt May.
Oh.
But there's also this threat against the world, parts of London and Prague. You'll notice when you guys go there in the fall, you'll see some of the reconstruction going on. The Ferris wheel went down, and even Venice got hit hard, too. I don't think you've got anything planned yet, but Bertrand might get on that for you. That's not a deleted scene from this. So I'm giving a solid 3 stars to Spider-Man Far From Home. And what I like about it is it's kind of a lighter touch after the heaviness, again, because things happen in Avengers Endgame. And it's
Tony Stark?
Where's Tony Stark? Iron Man!
Well, love Iron Man.
Why don't you ask Black Widow about that?
I can't wait for Iron Man 6. When's the next Iron Man coming out?
I miss Tony Stark.
I love Tony Stark.
I love the Iron Man
movies. Lauren and I are like the geeks making fun of the losers at Comic-Con that don't realize, the Game of Thrones panel is already over. Is the mountain coming back for season 9?
I like how Iron Man can shoot stuff out of his hands. So cool.
Stop it.
He shoots like that laser thing.
He's the best.
He's the best.
I love that character.
I love him. I hope he never goes away.
I know. Such great.
Okay, well, this is Spider-Man, so it's all about Spider-Man.
And here's the other thing. Tom Holland is a British actor, but as you can tell there, he's got the American accent down. And he's 22 or so, but he really does convincingly play 16 or 17. He's a really good actor.
Where do we know Tom Holland from? Wasn't he in that thing about the thing with the guys?
He's been Spider-Man. You know him as Spider-Man, mainly. I mean, he's a British stage-trained British actor. He played Billy Elliot, on Broadway, definitely in the West End. Really good actor. Tobey Maguire, we had a Spider-Man. Then we had Andrew Garfield, who I think was 40 when he played Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He and Emma Stone looked like student teachers, you know, when they were playing the high school kids. So I think they got the better casting here. The high school kids, even though they are a little bit older, they're believable as high school kids. And half of the movie is the field trip. So it's good stuff.
Okay.
I hope Tony Stark shows up at the end.
Wait to see that. Oh, boy. Hulk alert.
Oh, is the Hulk? Does Hulk
no,
make his
no, oh. No, he's busy, too.
Is he dead, too? Wait, what? Who's dead?
Who's dead?
Nobody. Jeez. Don't worry about it, Kev.
You have to go watch all the movies.
You got to watch, what are the 21 before this one?
All right. Now, wait. There are, this is what, the 20th?
22nd?
22nd of this?
See, I keep getting confused because I thought Endgame was 22nd. This would be 23rd.
That could be true.
Okay. So this would be basically about 60 hours if you wanted to watch all of these, starting with the first Iron Man, right? Was that the reboot?
Yes, that's it. You're exactly right. Well, that, you know, there was a line in Avengers Endgame where Tony Stark's daughter said, "I love you 3,000." And with this movie's running time, we've had exactly 3,000 minutes of Marvel Universe movies.
Right. So this would be a week and a half of going to work every day.
Yeah, you could probably, the second Thor, you don't really need that much, probably, things like that. Iron Man 3,
I would say the first Iron Man's my favorite. I love Tony Stark.
He's the best. Stark Industries.
Yeah, he's the best.
Well, he looms large over this tale. And maybe he's in it, actually, in a way. Now I think about it. That's all I'll say about that.
I'll go see it, then.
All right. Thank you. Spider-Man?
Far from home.
Because
he actually is far from home. He's overseas.
I mean, if he doesn't save the world, he can't go after the high school crush. So he's got to kind of make a decision here.
It gets you a leg up on the other dudes in high school, though.
Right. Save the world. No big deal. What'd you guys do this summer?
While you were gone, I fell in love with the quarterback.
Damn it.
Yeah, well.
Wasn't worth it then. Forget the world.
There's always the obligatory kid who picks on Peter Parker but idolizes Spider-Man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just like in the newspaper office, they pick on Clark Kent but love Superman. There's always, Peter Parker, you're a wimp. Oh, I love Spider-Man so much. And he can't tell him, though. He can't tell him, you idiot, that's me.
I wish I could tell Tony Stark face-to-face how much I love him.
Maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, we're going to do next time that movie comes out. That's what we're going to do, Kim.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, hold on. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Metro trains on the move again, but the delays continue.
Watch Navy Pier's Independence Day display from home as fireworks light up Chicago's lakefront. Chicago's Summer Blast, a WGN-TV special, July 4th at 9:30.
Richard Roper has just given 3 stars to Spider-Man Far From Home. But says that, do you have to see the other ones to see this?
Well, just for those of you who missed that, we're going to take the review and edit it for the podcast so there's no confusion about Tony Stark being in this movie. So it'll be a shorter version of that because the Marvel Studios, I want them to invite me back to the next, to the next screening.
All right.
3 stars, Spider-Man Far From Home, which is a standalone Spider-Man movie, but you have to have seen at least the last two Avengers movies. You have to have. If not, you're absolutely going to have no idea what's happening.
I still have no idea what's happening.
Well, this cracks me up because, people, when you went to see Rocky IV, you knew Clubber Lang had been downed in Rocky III. No one had to worry about it being a spoiler alert. They didn't go, in case you missed the last 3 Rockies.
Yeah, but there's so many. There's so much to do here.
It's a lot to keep up with.
I love Rocky IV.
There were 27 Harry Potter movies. People kept up with that. The Twilight kids were...
I didn't.
Dinking around for a whole decade.
I was very much Team Jacob. All right, what do we...
Tony Stark was in those too, by the way. He was the uncle. I want to say another movie that I thought, just for you guys.
Okay, you got a minute to do it. Go ahead.
Because there's a bunch of other movies out there. This one's called Always Be My Maybe. It's available right now on Netflix. And I like this because it's a classic romantic comedy with a basically all-Asian lead cast, which is really cool to see. Ali Wong, who's super funny, wrote it. Randall Park, is the dad from Fresh Off the Boat.
Love him. Very quickly,
I want to play this scene for you here because this is fantastic. Ali Wong and Randall Park are best friends who kind of are on and off romantically. Now she's got a new boyfriend. And here's the dinner scene where the new boyfriend comes in.
These are my friends. This is Marcus, and this is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Oh. Wow. Now I know what it feels like to be completely starstruck.
The only stars that matter are the ones you look at when you dream.
Thank you.
A pleasure to meet you, Marcus.
Likewise, Keanu. I love your outfit.
Aw, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Tom Ford made it custom for me.
That's Keanu Reeves.
As Keanu Reeves. it's if they gave an Oscar for cameos or an Emmy, he should get it because he plays the D-bag version of Keanu Reeves. When the bill comes for that dinner, it's $6,400. And he goes, that's less than one residual check from my hit movie Speed. And in real life, he's the sweetest, most humble guy, but it's great to see him play like the jerkiest version of Keanu Reeves. So Always Be My Maybe. It's on Netflix right now. If you're into like just fun, escapist, in between rain delay kind of movie, watch.
Can Keanu Reeves do anything wrong?
He's on top of the world right now.
He really is.
He's Duke Kaboom in Toy Story 4. He's John Wick. And we're going to get Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure revisited.
I don't need to see that one, but I do. But I like all the other stuff.
You wait and see.
Oh, really? All right.
Keanu, call us.
This is going to be, now I've got things to do this weekend during rain delay theater.
See? Yeah, I think you'll like that one.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Sure.
Richard Roper's Reviews right here brought to us by Architect of Chicagoland.com. We've got the news and then baseball coming your way in 2 minutes.